All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, approach here. I've added a new wing onto the house. It is a very special room because, I managed to find this relatively cheap, but behold, the Loom of Fate.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
It's ask me about Loom.
Yeah. That's the fate. Thank you for noticing the sign, a little needle point sampler there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, After Wanted didn't do very well 10 years ago in the theaters. This is real cheap, but it actually functions.
Okay. Yeah. More so than Wanted did. Did you ever read that comic?
No, I didn't.
It's I liked it at the time. It's got some real problems. It ends with like the main character who looks like Eminem. The last panel of that comic is him flipping off the camera and saying, "This is my face when I fuck you in the ass."
Oh, Jesus.
The last panel of Wanted, the comic. And like when I was a nihilistic young, early, mid 20-year-old, I was just like, yeah, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. What if the good guys were bad? Like that's the kind of irony I really eat up like with a fucking spoon. Yeah. And then I realized, so I never saw the movie, which is good because I contributed to you to getting this cheap Loom.
I know, right? Yeah, the movie was fine. It's a little bit more of it's like a Fight Club meets a superhero movie kind of thing. There's a cool shot where he, I imagine this might've been lifted from the comics, where he flips out at work and he smashes somebody over the face with a keyboard.
Yeah.
And the keys fly off and it says, "Fuck you."
Yeah, that's a real comic. That I think that's in the comic. That's a real Mark Miller.
Yeah. But no. This is cool. It's great for randomizations. Which if things go right, we're only going to do this once. Don't get angry if we do it again in a year because forgot this. Yeah. This was here on my palatial estate.
It's fine. It's easy to lose track.
Yeah, but I'm just going to start this 2-stroke engine and watch it go. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we
has an engine.
Yeah. It's good. It's got sometimes in the old days it was like a foot pedal kind of thing. Colonial Williamsburg taught me anything, but this one it's big. It's a Loom of Fate.
I like how they've been updating the Loom of Fate to adjust for new technology.
Well, assassins, they're a pragmatic bunch.
It's their creed.
Yes.
always be updating looms.
Yep.
ABUL. Okay. So.
Okay. Wait a second. All right. So let me go here and open this up. This looks kind of like a sock, but it's got a frog on.
That's cute.
It's like a golf club kind of thing.
Oh, one of those weird golf socks.
Yeah. Like for protecting your clubs, Look at him. This little frog has a Gary, I think we're playing Ribbit King. The Loom has so decreed.
I have no idea how to feel about this.
Fuck yes. That's what I'm gonna say.
You're in the fuck yes camp. I don't know if I'm quite that far. I got pretty frustrated playing Ribbit King, but I'm glad I know about it.
Yep.
I got pretty mad playing it though.
Yeah. Yes, okay. This is an ambivalent episode.
Yeah, this
of
is
abject suffering.
A 3.5, a 3 out of 5. I am Gary Butterfield.
I am Cole Ross,
and this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games that are bad, so you don't have to.
Yep, that come up at random, yes. By Loom of Fate or not.
Yes.
Why are you doing this to us? Why'd you do this to us, Max? Who writes in saying, "It's rare that you see people talk about it, but man, the GameCube had a bunch of really weird games that came out for it. Remember Cubivore? Maybe I'll suggest Cubivore next. Anyway, this is a game about frog golf. Frolf. Which is weird because Frolf is actually a thing people say and talk about and play."
Yeah, they talk about it. Kids are always talking Frolf.
Well, no, Frisbee golf.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay.
Kids love. They live to Frolf. Yeah, it is. I was confused by that part of it. I was also confused by everything that happens in it. Like, it's a golf game, and I feel like that's a pretty safe bet for a game, right? Like, the golf mechanics in video games haven't changed, since, like, the Commodore 64. Like, it's always this kind of meter-related golf.
Until, like, Tiger Woods and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's not the most popular of the golf kind of paradigms, you know, like that's right, a right. offshoot. That's the, that, but the, you know, golf games tend to be very similar. But this is like, golf, if like just a bunch of random dumb bullshit happened whenever you, anyone's, you know, shot their frog.
Yeah.
Like, did you figure out, like, did it ever feel to you like just random things weren't happening when you knocked? It's like I could, so in this thing, you're hitting a frog with a mallet.
You've got like a little catapult kind of thing.
It looked to me like you're just hitting a frog. Like, but it looks like you hit this frog and you go, go. And then the frog jumps depending on how hard you hit him. And then you try to go through these little point multipliers, but all the time, like I would land and there'd be a fly that would appear that I didn't see, mm-hmm. or my frog. So then my frog would jump into this, that would knock into this, that would combo. And you get these weird combos that I had no control over.
Yeah.
And the AI was great at these. Mm-hmm. Like the AI would have these like never ending runs of like, super super crazy combo filled froth, mm-hmm. and my froth and was like basic froth.
Yeah, no. So I think that this is a visual noise problem.
Yeah,
because the fidelity of what you're trying to look at is very low. This is a very low res game. It feels like even for GameCube or even for PlayStation 2, like it's hard to tell when there's a fly that is going to mess with your score. And that's really the biggest problem that I had was the mm-hmm. flies, because most of the other stuff you can kind of see or spot or, you know, catch a little bit of a glimpse of, like from the top down view. Like I always use the top down view a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're definitely right. Like you hit the ball and like that timing and kind of designing and crafting your shot, that's really the only input that you have, because once it lands, it's like a combination of like Mario Kart and pinball.
Yeah, pinball was what I was thinking of. Like, yeah, it's it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's frustrating. You can have that kind of game where like the chaos is a big part of it, but mm-hmm. Where the AI can kind of use the chaos perfectly, mm-hmm. it gets kind of frustrating. When you're talking about visual noise, you know what this looks like? It looks like a Christian cartoon to me. Like, doesn't this look like
a VeggieTales?
Yeah, it looks like a VeggieTales or something like that. Like, all and then the voice acting and everything, mm-hmm. like everything about this screams like low budget CGI Christian cartoon.
Yeah, and they even have the creepy gay villain.
Yeah, that voice when that first pops up, and that creature too. Like, the thing's real. It's real spooky.
The referee.
Yeah, the referee, with the incredibly lispy,
yeah.
stereotypical gay voice. Like, and this didn't come out that long ago. It's like 2004.
Yeah, this is like
we knew better.
We knew better. This is 2004, and it's like what's his name at the end of Blazing Saddles? You brute. Like, this is egregious.
Yeah. It's pretty rough. He's like Hollywood from Mannequin. you know, and like Hollywood shouldn't be. Like I loved Hollywood as a kid because I thought he was pretty funny, but that was not my the best angel of my nature that thought Hollywood was really funny.
Right. So. Yeah, but they even comment he's this pitch black kind of thing that has Real Monsters eye stalks coming off of him, and he's there and he kind of adjudicates the rounds. And even there, like the randomness goes down to like random bonuses that are awarded. So your score is really only like one part of the equation. But you're right. Like the low production value just kind of permeates everything here. If I remember correctly, this was a budget title. Like Bandai released this kind of in the late the later period of the PS2, where it was kind of acceptable to put out $20 to $30 games.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes that gets you like Katamari.
Yes.
You know, like they're like that doesn't have to be. I mean, it gives you weirdness, but it doesn't have to give you badness.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a story to this. Like you play as a
boy. Is there a story to it? And like when I say that, I don't mean that to be like I'm relishing it. Like, oh man, I can't wait to talk about all the weirdness of this story. It's boring. It's a really boring story. Yeah. It's like that intro. Like when I said it was like a Christian cartoon. I mean, like the kind of like shitty cartoon beats.
Mm-hmm.
To that story are like permeate the entire thing, where like everyone is just saying the same thing and rephrasing it over and over and over to make sure all the dumb kids like get it.
Yep, it's like, oh, the comically incompetent king of town who says, yeah. Oh no, our planet's running out of ribinium.
Why did that need to be there in this golf game?
It doesn't need to be there
at
all.
It's really weird.
And then the, you know, the king's panicking, and then his Philip Seymour Hoffman from The Big Lebowski comes in and says, "This is our concern, dude," and restates the problem.
And then they switch to an engineer who explains the concern to the dude, and then your sidekick explains the concern to the dude.
Yes, we know Pickwick, the concern. He's your caddy slash sentient basket.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that's meant to be like, it's like a video game where every character is like the Snarf character from Thundercats, or like everyone is Orko. Like, imagine that special hell, like, oops, all Orcos.
Like, this is something that I just see anything like a Delgo or a Food Fight or something like that. One of the key kind of criticisms for bad animation is that everybody, like, okay, they obviously all recorded their lines separately, but everybody thinks they're the only person doing a wacky voice in the scene.
Yeah. that's 100% what this is like.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's really, really weird.
And so Gary, it would probably please you to find out, I couldn't find this on any I didn't look on YouTube because I really didn't want to see it, but the GameCube version of this came with a whole other disc that was just the cartoon, like like special episodes of the Ribbit King Adventures,
which aired on TV, I guess. Which is really strange to me. Like, what were they? What did they really think this was gonna, like, this was gonna, they put a lot of faith in this thing. Jamworks Company Limited.
But shittier stuff has made it through. I mean, dear God, I was just home for Christmas, and I was watching something called Paw Patrol that my little nephew, who's 1 year old, just goes apeshit over. But it is like. It hasn't gotten any better from VeggieTales. Like, all of this is like stuck in Reboot or the Jimmy Neutron television show.
Paw Patrol looks like this. Yeah. Like, these guys could all be like, go to a planet where the Paw Patrol hangs out.
Yep. And the Paw Patrol, for people who don't know, these are monstrosities. These are cartoonish animals that are fused with like trucks and machinery.
Yeah. It's weird. They're not they're like halfway through. They're like Transformers, but they're stuck mid-state, like mid-transformation.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Beast Wars Transformers, though.
It's like, if you look at any of those fetish comics, like transformation fetish comics, it's always like these are basically third panel on those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, boy, I can't even imagine like sitting down to watch something like this. It's been so long since I've been forced to watch a TV show I don't want to watch.
I know. Well, it's just there ambiently, and you know, if you're trying to be social and not hold up in your room like I can't be when I'm there, then all of a sudden you're just exposed to it.
Yeah, then it's just like, well, that's so weird when you're home and it's like, oh, I just want to hang, you know, I'd rather just like hang out and read and just wait for this to pass. And you can't do that. So the option, like, I just realized, like, oh, it's been a long time since I've watched been forced to watch a TV show I don't watch. And it's because I haven't been home for like almost 2 years. Because that's when that happens. I ended up watching like Jersey Pawn Kings or whatever at my mom's house. That like the racist version of Pawn Stars.
Oh man, when I was home, my parents were, they thought I'd go crazy for this show called The Toy Hunter.
Oh.
This terrible guy who's like, I'm going to this convention and I'm looking for an 18-inch Kenner alien doll for this so-and-so, and like, it's all wacky, and it's like, some of it's like kind of interesting because they're talking about the history of this toy and here's why this is weird, but most of the time it's like reality show cues of, you know, like, does the sound of a rusty gate opening and the dun 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 dun, are we gonna haggle it?
It's gonna be stupid no matter what. Like, I love like that treasure hunt like feeling, and I will get down with a vicarious version of that. But every time I've watched it, like, there's just too much of that reality TV trappings, or the people who do it, I don't end up liking. Like, there's a YouTube version of guys who do that for video games, and like, it's just them going to flea markets and shit and looking for rare games and trying to get good deals on them, which is like really up my alley. But I don't like any of the dudes, so I can't really watch it. Me and Brayton, when we did Portland Retro Gaming Expo, we were next to the guys who did that Nintendo Quest movie. Brayton bought that and we watched it.
I think we've talked about this on the air at some point.
I won't go into detail about it, but it's like the version of that it still even does it, even though it's like really charmingly Canadian and polite, but like, it's like such a, like, it doesn't need to have those reality beats, but has them consistently and kind of ruins it for me. Where he's like, I want that. I like this. I'm looking at this Toy Hunter show and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. Like, this looks like something I can get into. But then I looked at just the guy.
Yep. No, the guy.
And it's just like, yeah, the guy. I don't care for the guy. That's going to ruin it for me.
And when the guy's just talking to other guys, he's fine because, you know, he's obviously got some kind of interpersonal skill because he's making these deals and he talked his way into having this show. But when he's talking into the camera, we're going to get here and we're going to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, luckily for us, it got canceled.
Oh, cool.
Don't expect a fourth season of The Toy Hunter, according to toynewssi.com.
Yeah, so. But I go home like once every 5 to 6 weeks, and I'm kind of always exposed to this. So I kind of, like, I am not even as fortunate as you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I like going home from time to time, but boy, does that watching, you know, some being held hostage by garbage TV, which is like... It's what happens as an adult when you go home.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I get lucky and it's just like House Hunters.
Yeah, which is still not great, but you can still watch it. Like, yeah,
you can still watch it and say, oh, that's nice.
I like looking at nice houses.
Yeah, you can call them stupid and say like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that they're together. Like, if they can't do this, they're fucked.
Yeah, it is just like the pre-divorce. Like, yep. Like,
oh, you do want different things. And she's like talking down to him about like, oh, he's got to have his man cave. Brr.
Yeah, yeah. Those are unfortunate shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched my share of House Hunters. And then if you're lucky, you can get into a cooking show, which I still feel like is the gold standard for reality TV.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to watch reality TV, I want someone to be cooking something.
Yeah. We've talked about the old Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'll even go so far as to say Shark Tank and Dragon's Den. Those are both.
Yeah, I can get down with those.
Yeah.
So people, astute listeners, and I'll talk about this a little bit. If I'm a little bit slow on the uptick, it's because I've got some kind of, I think I ate some bad shrimp and I've got, I think I took the shrimp ramp to diarrhea town on accident.
You're understating it, like 48 hours of just hell, right?
Yeah, it's been really rough, but I talked about this on Slack and I wanted to bring it up to you because I don't think there's a joke here, but maybe you can salvage something from it or just as something that's very weird. So, you know, Sunday night, I get home from work and I start getting stomach cramps really bad. And this is the vomity part of the thing. So don't get grossed out. Okay. It's not the diarrhea part yet. Really bad stomach cramps. I lay down and like end up eventually like inducing vomiting because I just feel like the need to. And then it just doesn't stop.
Yeah. You're in the sweat haze right there.
Yeah. Like super, super bad chills. Like I couldn't get warm. And then like I would kind of drift off a little bit and then would wake up like sweating, head to toe in sweat and everything. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was having this kind of weird waking, dream or fantasy or whatever you want to call it.
A terror.
Like a day terror, while I'm trying to sleep, where I'm trying to relieve pressure on my stomach. So I kept like belching.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dream I was constructing, a smooth throne made of stone. Right. So like, imagine like a big, like with like rounded edges. But whenever I get to one of the edges, I had to burp to like set the edge to keep it from, like,
to establish like a
ether.
Bevel.
Yeah. Like I kept having burp bevels and it was really elaborate. And like in my, you know, delirious state, like there are many times where I'm just like, I'm, you know, I feel like I'm dying, but at least I have this throne. Like, I don't know. I have no, like, again, there's nothing to it. Like, it never resolved. But those are like real feelings I was having pretty consistently during the 8 hours in which I tried to sleep from like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. and instead just laid in bed, you know, periodically going to vomit.
Yeah. No, that's actually super. I think that's super salient because you were trying to ascribe some kind of greater goal or motivation for your suffering, right?
Yeah, like, and I wanted to build something out of it.
Yeah, and I'll think about this like when a little kid is sick or they've got an ache or a pain, or I'll even think back to when I was real little and I kind of just I had really bad like inner ear problems my entire life. Like, it's, you know, at certain points I only had like 5% of my hearing. It's a miracle that I can speak correctly and that I can also hear. But like, I remember being a little kid and thinking, why isn't anybody doing anything about this?
Yeah.
Right? Like, a kid has no context for why they're in pain. They don't know where it's coming from. It's just like, yeah. this is what life is like now. So you like this is your like rational mind trying to abstract away and say like, okay, I'm attempting to belch because I know it's going to make me feel better. Gary, in this day terror, did you look down at your body? Were you human?
I don't remember being self-aware.
Okay.
In a way that I had like a body.
Because the way that you're describing this, this could almost be like a Lovecraft short or like an entry in a commonplace book where you are some kind of monstrosity that has external digestion.
Oh.
And the belching to fix the edge is kind of like, okay, the other side of, well, what did you spit on that to make it dissolve? So like you are temporarily turning it into a slurry that you are then fixing once it's in an optimal state. So you could have been some kind of like starfish monster that was working on some kind of massive underground crystal palace.
Do you know about Maggot from the X-Men?
I'm aware of Maggot.
Yeah, it's like Maggot has an external digestive system.
Okay.
Except it's in the form of like two maggots, like two slugs that like live outside of him, but it's a really weird power where the slugs go off and eat shit for him. And that's Maggot.
Oh, so you're kind of a maggot figure in
this. Like I've got some maggot like qualities.
No, I mean, like you're building an internal world. This was I think about this a lot, especially in my day job. But like a lot of kind of like imagination or trying to find context for stuff is attempting to build some kind of abstraction or schema.
Mm-hmm. like POWs when they build little castles for themselves in their brain.
Yeah,
to get away from the torture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that wasn't so much funny aside from
no, I mean it's apt. Like it's hard for me to find humor in anything.
Yeah, well, no. Gary, you're talking to somebody whose mission in life is to avoid vomiting.
Yeah, I feel diminished. Like I feel like 5 years older.
Yeah.
Than I did before this whole thing started.
Because there are those experiences that take a chunk out of you.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only way I can think about it is like, there is something missing for me. I'm no longer whole because of this.
Like they just change the transparency setting on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like at like 80%. You know, like 2 out of every 10 of these atoms of mine are like not there.
Yeah.
So it's real unfortunate. And made me think about, because it's the same thing that happens to Roars, where like he starts puking and then he just can't stop. Like last a couple times, like anytime he's had one of his weird all night puke fest, and I've taken him into the vet and they've just been like, you know, cats puke, Mr. Hill. You know,
they just kind of cats get old. You know.
Yeah, they're just like, well, sometimes like once cats start puking, they just can't stop.
And it was they figured out how fun it was. It's kind of like smoking. Yeah, like, are you gonna make him fill a like whole carton of cigarettes with puke?
Yeah. It's like Lay's potato chips. You just like the reflex or whatever the part of your body that makes you puke just doesn't give up. And it was like that. But then after that, when which I slept for 24 hours, which was also really weird too, because I kept waking up and being like, I've got enough sleep, but it hurts to sit up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I should just go back to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And I kept doing that. And then, you know, still feeling terrible, which is, I guess there's not really anything to that, but just so everybody knows, like if it's Christmas and you go to a Chinese restaurant because it's the only restaurant that's open, avoid shrimp.
Not oh worth gosh the risk. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's what happened, but like,
and I mean, if you were a betting man.
Yeah, exactly. Always bet on shrimp.
Yeah. Man, Wesley Snipes' career took a weird direction. Yeah. Wait, if Wesley Snipes did like did like a sequel to Shark Tales?
Yeah, always been on shrimp.
Yep.
I was trying to think of something that rhymes with snipes. That's a fish, and I didn't quite have it.
No.
But that
might be one of those words like orange.
Yeah. Snipes. Yeah,
wipes. Shit.
Yeah.
All I needed to do was think about it for a second.
Yeah. No. I mean, there are other words, but it doesn't make it like a water.
Yeah.
Water related Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is a fire elemental, if anything.
Oh, because the demolition aspect of it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
I could go to see that. I could stand to see that movie again.
It's a good movie. It's funny.
I kind of like Demolition Man. Yeah.
God.
So Ribbit King has a really sad Game Facts presence.
It's very, I don't know, like dwindling. Did you find anything worth noting?
I think so. Like there's the same thing that always happens, the I claim this board shit, which, like, you know, there's not very much more to say about that, but I'm coming to the opinion that's one of the sadder things that, like, when you just see it over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
like, it just, if you see it as much as we do in our line of work, like, it just gets depressing. But this guy, Kyle RX0, I guess there's hidden bottle caps in every level.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's got this going for bottle caps. Spoilers ahoy. And so he's got this thing where he's like, hello, my fellow frolfers. It's bottle cap collecting time. There are 50 bottle caps in the game. Can you catch them all? Quote, gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all. End quote. this topic will document my progress on bottle cap completion. I've beaten the game, got over 30 caps, but never went for all of them. Why do this, you say? One must consider unlockable movie clips.
Depression.
One must consider unlockable movie clips. So he's got that over addiction.
Right, like
that,
yes.
That elaborate addiction.
Yeah, the Davis Arini.
Yeah, exactly. Why do this, you say? One must consider unlockable movie clips. Legendary frolfer Gregor _ Fran unlocked the elusive movie clip number 27.
The elusive. Rarer than Bigfoot it is.
Yes, it is. So he's talking about this guy, this legendary frolfer Gregor Fran. He's talking about how collecting bottle caps extends the life of this awesome game. You know, way into it. Keeps going on about getting his bottle caps. Talks about his journey getting it. About... you know, several posts down, this Gregor Fran finds it and says, good to hear you're playing again. The various facts.
Welcome back.
You know, good to hear my name again. Best wishes on your endeavor. it's been a while, but I'll try to help. And then this Kyle guy's like, Gregor Fran, I was hoping you still checked the board. It's a shame that these awesome topics that were once on the board have been purged. Luckily, I saved your post on my computer before they got deleted. It's got some great info on that. It's like this weird Sleepless in Seattle, like, This weird love connection that these guys have made, or these people have made, over this very, you know, very specific thing.
Yeah, over this, like, C-minus game.
Yeah, see, like a real C-minus game and a real optional dumb thing. Yep. And then Gregor Fran doesn't respond for a while again, and then says, I wonder how your progress was going. I'm interested in how everything is going for you.
Just, let's just catch up, man. I'm worried about you.
And then that's it. That's where it ends.
Oh, no.
But their relationship in that thread I like a lot.
Like, just as... Am I wrong to read, like, a certain amount of admiration into Gregor Franz? Like, awesome. Wow. I can't believe you're here.
Yeah, he's the legendary frolfer.
Yep.
Like, there's no... You don't have to read it in. It's right there on the page.
Yep.
But even
the legendary frolfer comes in and says, great to hear my name.
Yeah, great to hear my name again. Like,
all I'm picturing is, like, some kind of weird, like, Planescape kind of thing where these people stop existing when their name is forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, Gregor Fran, and we brought him back to life.
Oh gosh, he's back for like one moment, just blinking into existence as though the intervening time didn't exist.
Oh, hey, and then also this guy reposted his things he saved, like the other post from Gregor Fran that got deleted. He reposted them. For all for Gregor Fran, the man, the legend, the true Ribbit King. Here. So weird, right? Like, it's just those are the guys who, like, by far have the most. Everyone else is just like, I claim this board.
Yeah.
And then those two guys are having a real human connection.
They're like invested in this.
It's really strange. Yeah.
Well, what's the date of this correspondence?
2009.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's 2009 is what we're looking at here. So recently enough to
warrant concern.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't like 1 month after it was out, and this is some kind of weird little gem that somebody got in the bargain bin.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, the reason that I go fuck yeah about this is, it's, I don't think this is a great game, but I have really fond memories of having this in the machine at my Babbage's that I used to work at. Babbage's, okay. Or GameStop or whatever. Like, the, you know, corporate would say, oh, you need to put in the most recent, like, hot T rated game, but it's like, no, fuck you, I'm gonna play I'm gonna play Gran Turismo 3 and then Ribbit Golf for Ribbit King.
Yeah,
that's also where I played the majority of the of Katamari Damacy. was there, okay. But like we would have a remote control in there. We would have like a Logitech wireless controller, and we would just play it from behind the counter and watch little kids come up and be frustrated that stuff was happening that they didn't control.
Yeah.
And just like, this was a fun little golf game that, like, I don't know, like I can't think of another golf game where you have as much like intentional control over the arc of your shot and so little control over what happens afterwards, because usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Because yeah, golf is a semi, like, it almost feels more precise in video game form than it does in real life.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, definitely. I mean, it is, you know,
it's something you have to like to get the level of precision to even that you would have even by being shitty in a golf game. You have to work for years to even get it off of the tee. And I say this as somebody who likes golfing and is terrible at it.
I don't hate this. Mm-hmm. Like it's you know, judging on the abject suffering curve, like, it's definitely in the fuck yeah corner. Like, it's not a like, I had fun playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that it didn't, like, the story stuff bummed me out.
Yeah.
And the character designs bummed me out. But other than that, like, if you reskin this with something less obnoxious, like, I'd be pretty into it.
Yeah. Like, imagine if this was like the Sonic golf game.
Yeah. Yeah. Why isn't it a Sonic golf game? Yeah. Why aren't all these characters in the Sonic universe?
Yeah.
Like, all of them could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they've got the right proportions. They're exactly as inane as they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, these guys are like Sonic characters. They're cute and obnoxious.
Yep, they're cute and dumb. And that is the criteria. But like, imagine doing this, like, all of the random shit that you see in the visual noise would make perfect sense being on Mobius or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
they look like Sonic assets. Like, they really do. Like, that little spider that's under the web, that looks like a Sonic spider.
Yes, it does. So just make him a little robot, and when you hit him, he turns into a cute little bird.
I bet you if you Google image search Sonic spider, you get a weird eight-legged spider. Let's hope so. Or an eight-legged Sonic, rather.
I was going to say.
Yeah, not an eight-legged spider, which is pretty bland.
DeviantArt, there's a
surprising amount of Sonic dressed up as Spider-Man.
Yep. Ooh, here's one of Spider-Man kissing Spider-Man, Spider-Man kissing Sonic. Spider-Man upside down and Sonic with a heart on his crazy uni-eye.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, why is this such a thing? Like, Sonic as Spider-Man. What am I missing here? Am I still sleeping?
Gary, wake up. Gary, wake up.
SonicSpider.com. Okay, that's just a web development thing.
Gary, Sonic, I need you to wake up.
Yo, what is up, guys? I am your host, Cole.
It's a game, Cole.
What is?
Sonic's, like, Sonic Generation Spider-Hog. Like,
is it a fan game? Is this a mode in Sonic Generations?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Gary, I need you to wake up.
look at this thing. Let me watch this YouTube on mute with me.
One second.
This is happening, right? Like, this is. Back for more Sonic? That's Shadow, and he's dressed like Venom. Of course he is.
Why wouldn't he be? Wow, this looks straight up like a Sonic Dreams collection. And by that, I mean, this looks like a used car commercial. Gary, you sent me a link to a used car commercial.
No. No.
That's weird. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bob Spade, he's got some great deals on used Buicks and Hondas. But
Bob Roorman.
Huh. Wow. No, that's, I mean, these are good deals, but.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna snap out of this.
Have you ever done a search for Gary the Hedgehog?
No, but I'm going to right now.
Yeah, everybody, this is a common internet game. Search for your first name, the Hedgehog, and what it comes back, it will always exist, and it will always be just probably the textbook picture of mediocrity.
Do you just want the images, or do you want to find the backstory of Gary the Hedgehog?
Do you have both?
No, I'm not sure. It looks like
usually it's the images, but I'm sure every OC Do Not Steal has a backstory.
here we go. Mine's a little Assassin's Creed mashup.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. those are my two favorite things: Sonic the Hedgehog and Assassin's Creed.
Ooh, mine has an entry on the Sonic Fanon Wiki.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes, for fan canon. Cole is a Hedgehog Saiyan hybrid. His quill bangs are pointing forward and diagonally down, and three are sticking up, much like a Saiyan's special spiky hairstyle. What he wears is a heavy weighted martial arts outfit, a blue undershirt underneath, and a gray tank top with matching pants.
I'm a little bit jealous.
And like, it's spelled the way my name is too.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Like, you have a less common, I mean, neither of us have common names, I don't think, but you have a less common name.
Oh, no, I've got a stupid white person name, but
yeah, you got it's the Cole Chronicles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, weaknesses: excessive use will cause Cole fatigue.
Okay.
And Cole fatigue is one of the main reasons why there's no main feed for the network. Because I don't want to burn people out on me.
Is Cole fatigue one word? Is that a stat, like something that happens, like you get Cole fatigue?
No, I think that it's just somebody not writing very well.
Okay.
Yeah. Will cause Cole to experience fatigue, will induce fatigue in Cole, any of those kind of things. But yes, it is written as though Cole fatigue is a recognized medical term.
Yeah, there's a couple of good Gary the Hedgehogs, actually. There's none of them have wikis.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Ooh, boy, we need to save the Sonic Fanon wiki.
Oh, this one's a good one.
Ooh.
This is, I mean, again, it's just a good picture. There's no good story for him. You had to make up your own story.
Yeah, no, it's like Super Metroid in that way. Ooh.
Yeah.
What do we have? I need to take a look at this.
It's pretty good, right? That's not too bad.
No, it looks like you're about ready to open up a carton of milk.
Or like smoke. I think he looks kind of like a cool guy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, no, but just imagine him sitting on the front, like a front stoop, with a carton of smokes in one, or a pack of smokes in one hand, and like a cool carton of milk in the other.
Yeah, yeah. Do the old milk and smoke. Like, he likes to dip each cig in a up to the filth in milk, and then smoke away that milky blues.
Yeah, yeah. He calls it the tobacco.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a,
oh,
it's
he's a, got a I like the studded leather belt.
Yeah, I think good. It's pretty slick. I like his wallet chain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good move for somebody with that kind of fashion.
Well, no, we just gotta be moving that quick. You gotta make sure the wallet doesn't fall out.
I like his weird pecs that like go from the like his upper right clavicle down to like his lowest rib on his left side.
Mm-hmm. So he can roll up like a tiny little ball. Like, hedgehog pecs have to be different, you know?
Yeah, their ribs are staggered.
Yeah.
like you expect ribs to be like an accordion kind of thing, but these ones are more like teeth of a zipper.
Yeah.
Because they have to collapse that way.
And of course the silk purple flame tank top.
Yeah, that's pretty slick too. Yeah.
This guy's on the ball. No, I like it.
Yeah, I like this Gary the Hedgehog. This is a like definitely better than Gary the Human, at least right now. If only I could be on to Gary the Hedgehog.
Oh man. And Gary, judging by the signature, the person who drew this, their name was not Gary.
Oh, that's weird. They just a fan, huh?
Yep, just a fan of the concept of Gary.
Yeah, just a fan of Mr. Show's go-to comedy name, Gary.
Oh boy. So yeah, Ribbit King. I'm happy it exists.
I'm happy it exists. I'm glad I played it. I wonder if I would have been in a better mood, if I would have felt differently about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally possible. Yeah,
there's no saying.
There is no saying.
Except for Cole the Hedgehog, apparently.
Yeah.
Who is part saying, as you know.
Yep, indeed. Yeah, I'm out of things to say. I apologize, people listening, if I'm off my game a little bit. I'm not. Yeah, I'm half a man. But, you know, maybe at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you listen to the Watch Out for Fireballs recording right after this, and you're like, wait, Gary's being a little bit off. That's why too. You guys will forgive me because you're nice people and you've all had stomach flus.
Yep.
So
thank you, Max, for recommending this blast from my personal past.
Yeah. I'm happy to, again, I'm also happy to have been exposed to it.
Yeah.
A blast from my present. So.
Yeah. Next time, Gary, we're going to be doing a very special episode.
Okay, what's our special episode?
We're going to the R-Zone.
Oh, the R-Zone. It's our new spinoff podcast.
Yep.
I'm really excited to start the R-Zone.
Yeah. So stick around to hear what that entails.
Yeah. I'll give you one guess. Because I think you'll get it.
But if you want to help out the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. People who are listening to this may be acclimated and used to the idea that we come out at once every week. But that was actually the doing of an early Patreon goal. Our fans came out in force and we're coming at you every week thanks to that. And there's going to be more stuff like that coming down the way. In 2016, it's going to be a big year for us, but it's only possible with your help, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. If you want to, you know, you can join those people at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. If you're unable to do that or you know, for any reason or, you know, choose not to, that's fine as well. Mm-hmm. If you do want to help out the show, you can also help us with ratings and reviews, mm-hmm. Tweeting about the shows, blogging it, mm-hmm. Things like that. Those are all specifically or telling people. Yeah. About it, if you know people you think would get it, because it's not the easiest show to explain to people. If you think somebody would be an insider on this, yeah.
If they're down, if you think they're going to be down,
yeah, they're down to clown. get them in on this shit.
Yeah.
If not, pass them on by.
Yeah, no, direct them to one of our other shows with more mainstream appeal.
Yeah, yeah, and or unfriend them.
Because I mean, really, do you want to be a friend with somebody who's not down?
Yeah, I'm not here, especially to clown. Like, if you're going to be down with something, it should be to clown.
Yep. If it rhymes, I got the time, Gary, okay?
Yeah, exactly. I love advice that rhymes. Yep. It's my favorite thing. It's lifehacker.net. Yeah, so please spread the word.
Yeah.
Spread the good news.
Mm-hmm. Let's make 2016 a great year for this show and for the network.
Mm-hmm. And also for your individual lives.
Yes, true.
Let's do that as well.
Yeah.
We'll do our best. I think that's about it.
I think so.
All right. Well, good night and good luck, everyone. Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Umbasa. Let's keep it. Oh, wait. Yeah. Who is Zoodog? There we go. It's been a while.
Did you say Wombasa?
I that should have been our sign off from Bloodborne for the past year.
Oh,
but
yeah. Wombasa would have been great. Yeah. Man, Wombasa.
Missed opportunities.
Dang. Yeah. Well, hopefully there's a lot of psychosexual menstrual imagery in Dark Souls 3 and we can bring back Wombasa.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, well, I mean, it'll still work for the DLC. We'll just make a note of it.
Yeah, we'll cut it in.
Yeah. We'll go back to a whole year's worth of episodes.
Yep.
Who is Zoodog?
Who is he?